Well, my telephone tells me at 6 o'clock. The county clock is always off a little, so we get extra out of our employees. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for roll call and start the meeting.
Maxwell. Quisenberry.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Schwartz. Hartke. Kibler. James.
Here. Have a quorum. Next is, I'm going to call for approval of the minutes from our meeting on June 3rd. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Carries. Thank you. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I didn't ask for any discussion. Sorry about that. Next, I'm going to public participation. Dorothy Vera Weiss. You're allowed 5 minutes, ma'am, and you know how to operate that little microphone button.
Yes, there you go. Yes, I think so. Okay, thank you. Good evening, and thank you for the chance to speak again. And as always, thank you for your service to the people of our county. My name is Dorothy Vera Weiss, and I live at 2103 Mills Drive in Urbana. And I read the materials for this evening's meeting, specifically on the negotiations for the sheriff's operations master planning contract. I was surprised to see that the proposed cost of the consultant services is approximately $154,000, plus an additional $5,000 to $40,000 more if any county-owned buildings other than the two jails are to be evaluated for repurposing for any services related to the sheriff's office. And I don't have the exact figure, but what I remember from a meeting several months ago that Deb Busey said was that there was something like $50,000 or $60,000 that had been budgeted for this. Only about a third of the cost that's being proposed here for the contract. So where's the rest of the money going to come from? That's a concern to me as a taxpayer here. And a concern because although I believe in paying taxes, because I think what counties do, what governments do is really important, I think it should be used for the best possible purposes. The ILPP report recommended strongly that a master planning process be initiated to address serious deficits in the existing buildings, and changes are clearly needed. However, a large portion of the ILPP recommendations covered changes in siting and booking procedures, provision of services to address the underlying mental health and substance use problems, and development of reentry programs to reduce recidivism. All of these measures would reduce future crime and arrest rates and reduce the need for jail space. Section 3 of the ILPP report on historic and projected crime and justice trends includes the following, and I'm going to quote what was there. A word of caution. Jail planners and architects typically use one or some combination of three basic methods to project future jail bed space needs based on 1, past average daily jail inmate populations, 2, historical data about crimes reported to law enforcement and adult arrests, and 3, projections of the countywide population. These approaches all have a fundamental flaw. They are linear projections usually based on historical averages, which assume the future will be similar to the past. They reinforce commonly held misconceptions that the growth of county population, crime, and adult arrests determine the jail populations of the future. While these factors do have influence, they are much weaker drivers of jail population change than is represented. Unfortunately, these methods also shift responsibility for jail inmate population growth to factors that are mostly beyond the control of local officials. In reality, there are a lot of factors that are within the control of the local county decision-making. Champaign County has already started to make some changes in processes that will decrease the number of jail admissions and the average length of stay, and therefore the number of jail beds that are needed. Increased use of electronic home detention will also decrease the need for jail beds. Changes to address mental health and substance abuse needs, ideally outside of jail settings, outside of it both because it's less expensive outside of the jail and also because some programs are more effective when people can be closer to home settings. Those will also decrease the need for total and special beds. So I realize it's outside of the main charge of the facilities committee to look at the whole larger picture, but if more funds are being used for this consultant contract and more funds are put into the eventual building or remodeling of jail space, that's also less money that can be used for some of the other programs that will have a beneficial effect on the lives of the people in our communities, in our county. So there are a lot of programs that have been mentioned, have been presented. I passed out some information, and I'm sorry I didn't realize there were going to be this many people here. Sorry I didn't have enough for everybody. But information on a sobering center called First Chance Sobering Station.
Excuse me. Your 5 minutes are up.
Okay. And I commend it to your reading. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For your attention.
Communications. I don't have any, but does Van or anybody on the board have any communications they'd like to put forth? Seeing none, we'll move down to the next item, which is the Sheriff's Operations Master Planning for the County of Champaign with RFQ 2014-005, recommendation of award of contract to Gorski Restef Architects Incorporated. So we'll need
and
a
I move that we pass this to the full board with a recommendation to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I'll now open the floor for discussion. And we have some representatives here tonight if we have any questions of them. So does anybody have any concerns or questions at this time? Gary? Are you directing this to one of us, or do you want one of those gentlemen to answer?
No, I am mainly just concerns and also a statement. Well stated by the public participant, the cost of this reporter is going to range between 144 up to maybe 200, depending on how much we have to have done extra. That's just the way it is. I intend to support this for one reason. I feel we have some immediate problems we need to take a look at, and I think it's time to get on and to find some solution to these problems. So thank you.
Josh?
Yeah, from the beginning of my term on this board, this has been a big issue, and my goal all along has been to close the downtown jail, to get our inmates out of there, in the long run, to get the sheriff and his team out of there. So I was not in favor of this being the team we picked to do this study. I wanted to see more information about, you know, programming space, medical space, and things like that. But I think we have picked a qualified team that can do this, and I look forward to the results. So I will be supporting this, the issuing of this contract at this time.
Yeah, I want to echo a comment of Josh's. From the first time I met Dr. Kalmanoff, the first piece of information he shared with us was the upside down pyramid of cost associated with a justice facility, and that is your operational expenses is always the largest cost. And so I've been focused on this issue of why do we have two facilities and how do we not have two facilities, because regardless of whether whether we can, you know, shrink down quite a bit if we were in one place, we certainly would gain efficiencies. We certainly would not have to do things twice in many ways. So my concern with this, I think this cost is high for what we're doing, but one of the elements in here that makes this cost high is we're going to look at this downtown facility, which we know needs attention and may not be viable as a future justice facility, and we're going to spend time and money on evaluating it. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because we don't want to overlook the value of sunk cost in a building that's built. Although it has its problems in design, some parts of its structure are sound. Maybe not the roof, maybe not the chillers, but the walls and the shell are reasonably sound. And for that reason, I think we're spending money on due diligence that we may not have to spend if what happened, what I see in my head, which is a smaller operation in one place, is the end result. It's not going to be there. I don't believe it's going to be there, because if it's there, it's going to cost a heck of a lot more than anything else we've looked at to make that the single location. And so looking into that and eliminating the possibility of it being a facility that we use is going to cost money. And that's a little frustrating to me, because I think it's money that we're not going to pursue the results of. On the flip side, the thing that's giving me a little bit of solace in that situation is we'll know a lot about that building, and we'll know a lot about what maybe we could use it for differently or somebody else could use it for differently. So I don't think it's going to be completely wasted money. At the moment, it feels a little bit to me like it's not towards the primary goal that I think we're moving towards. So I do think that we followed our systems to select a team to do this. I was very interested in how the process went, and in fact I asked Van if I could take a look at the final voting results, and I think it's pretty clear that the team that the majority of board members ranked the highest was selected, so I don't have any concern about whether the process went the way it was going to go or not. And I look forward to having a plan that we can act on in piece or in whole to close our downtown jail and get our inmates the inmates that we do have to take care of in a place that is both modern, supportive, and meets their individual needs.
Well, I'm going to speak next, and then I'll call on others. Did you have something to say, Rosales?
No, I could wait for you.
Okay. Well, during our discussions and meetings on this, when I keep hearing that this is a lot of money, anything over $100 is a lot of money to me. But we compare it to other studies and things that this county board has joined in. To me, it's an average. It's a fair price. It's a good price. And we're not just looking at buildings. We're looking at a master plan for the sheriff's office that's going to encompass staff, timetables, and other things. I keep hearing that maybe the move and it'd be the best. We don't have those results yet. And that's what this study is about, is to tell us what those buildings are about. By no means is this a foregone conclusion that it will absolutely be closed. It might be transitioned. It might be something else. And from the public, I keep hearing about all these other options, which are very, very nice. And some of them would probably be beneficial to the community. But the one thing we always have to look at is cost, staff, utilities, and all the other things that go in with that. Plus, the sheriff is mandated by certain state laws to perform the duties of the office he has to perform. He doesn't have the budget nor the expertise to go out and start setting up all these outside agencies or to run them. And I think that the state needs to look at that very seriously, because they're the ones that have caused some of these headaches. I think we're going to get a good study. I think the team that's working on it, I've worked with some of the gentlemen before on the nursing home and other issues. I think they'll do an in-depth study. and we need it. We need it to know exactly where our buildings stand. I mean, we have a lot of other issues, but we'll get it resolved, so I'm in favor of it. I think that was the main focus when all this started. It wasn't how many people we had in jail and how many people we needed to serve as much as it was how are our buildings doing? Are they meeting the needs of those we are serving? And hopefully we'll come to a conclusion on that by the time this study's done.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Stan, and James Quisenberry, as well as Deb Busey for being here today, Van Anderson, Sheriff Dan Walsh, Deputy Sheriff Alan Jones, Dana Brenner, and Barbara Mann, and Kimian Incorporated, or Kimian Associates, for being here today and allowing a rescheduling of the meeting. I had requested a rescheduling of the meeting because I wanted to be able to follow due process. I want the participation of the public. I want that those meetings announced so that later on, when decisions are being made, nobody could come forth and say there was never any opportunity. The board rushed the decision. It jumped from committee to directly to the board. So thank you very much for allowing the rescheduling of this meeting because it clarifies a lot of the misnomers that were out there as to what are they doing behind closed doors. It's a very transparent government, and I wanted to be able to demonstrate that to the public. To the public. So thank you all for being here today. I know that I made you come out, perhaps unnecessary. This was due last week, but we're looking forward to supporting this proposal and moving it forward to the board. Thank you.
I wanted to say I wasn't blaming you, Geraldo. I was blaming Quisenberry. Mr. Kurtz, I'm going to let him go.
James is still on the committee.
Okay, I'll let you go.
I'll make a comment after the committee has made that.
First, but go ahead.
Sorry. Pardon me, Mr. Kurtz. I'm taking my prerogative here. And thank you, Geraldo, for pointing that out, because there's no way this process could go on without it going through committee. And it absolutely needed to go through committee, and I was prepared to ask for it to be postponed to August if we couldn't get it through committee. Okay. So thank you for noting that, because I think I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. It had to be done this way. I also want to thank Van for doing a very careful analysis of what we think this project does in terms of the recommendations from ILPP. I think it's important to recognize that this is acting on some of the recommendations from that report, that we are not setting that on a shelf and saying, yay, good work, let's move on. We're actually using it to guide some of our behavior here. It's guiding some of our other behavior with regard to programs with reentry and such, but it also had components that say this is a step we need to take. So that's another reason why I'm comfortable with proceeding. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. First, I want to agree and support all the comments made here this evening by the Facilities Committee. We've seen a change in the culture of justice system and incarceration in jails. I've been on the board for 6 years, and this has been an ongoing discussion for almost that length of time. We also knew how important social programs were to the overall picture of facilities and social programs, and I think we're moving beautifully in both directions. The reentry program, as I've already been updated on, is moving very, very quickly and already has shown results, which is an excellent start to our reentry program and the money that we put in there. But our facilities are the next major problem. And neither one of the facilities we have right now can accommodate the culture of today's incarceration. The mental issues, the mental problems taken in now by the jail system, which used to go to institutions, are now part of the responsibility of the Sheriff's Department. Neither one of the facilities that we have can accommodate those new regulations, new rules, and the reality of what takes place today in our jail system. This is our next step. It's the logical next step that we have to take because the facility has to be updated, but we're not sure exactly where we need to go. And that's why we have chosen what I feel is the best of the four. They're local, they have expertise, they have international reputations, and using in combination with the ILPP report, which I think I've already seen in the master plan that the sheriff and others have put together, this is our next step. And I'm in full support of us moving forward. I want to also address our public participant. Understand we're interested in both issues, the social as well as the facility issue. Both are important. And as you know, we've already put aside over $150,000 just for the reentry program, which is already working very, very well. It's just getting started. So I just want to say that I think we should have hopefully a unanimous move to recommend this contract be approved and move forward on this issue and finally take care of this very, very serious problem. Thank you.
Anybody else have any? Patsy?
Yes. First, I have some clarification questions, if I may ask. Mr. Gorski and Mr. Kimi. My first clarification question is I'd like to better understand your concept of a master plan and what all it is going to cover.
Okay. Yeah. Broadly speaking, in a master plan, what we're going to address are, it hopefully conclude as a group, not just, you know, us recommending, but I think us working together to conclude what is the best long-term facility option for the county. And in doing that, that's going to involve things like the quality of the spaces and the environment in which the inmates and the live and the staff work. It'll involve the technical fitness of the facilities and what it takes to bring either or both facility up to a point where there are buildings that you can rely on for the next 20 years or so to operate. We'll look at staff efficiency, I think, is a huge issue. I think, as Mr. Quisenberry mentioned, you know, the efficiency of the buildings, I think one of the really critical questions is what is the staffing that it takes to run the facilities, whether they're renovated or the way they are, and what it takes in the different options. And over the long term, again, according to that pyramid example is exactly right. Over the long haul, operational costs, which are mainly driven by staffing, really outweigh facility costs. So a master plan will hopefully come up with an option that is also staff efficient for the county, and when you project it life cycle-wise, it'll work. But at the end of the day, you know, the option that we come up with in a master plan will chart a course for how we develop the facilities we need over the next 20 to 30 years, whether they come through phasing or whether they come through all at once, which is in essence, you know, a cost and funding question to the county.
Okay, my next clarification question. Okay. In Mr. Anderson's memo, it is mentioned that already, without any study, has been put aside any use of the space at the JD Center and also any possible use of the empty space at the nursing home. How did this conclusion, where did this come from?
I think the, Van, I don't know if you want to answer that or?
And I think I can jump in on that one. You said there's no study, but there was a discussion and we have people as part of their team. For instance, Jim Gleason from GHR, who is intimately familiar with, for instance, the ILEAS facility, and also, of course, Mr. Kimmy is aware of what the requirements are for the housing of the, for instance, at the JDC, and so there was a long discussion about, you know, could we use those facilities? And part of the problems, and I hit on that in the memo. The ILEAS facility is leased out, and it has multiple three-year options that won't even be exercised until the beginning of 2017. And so its availability of the facility is one of the issues. But the another issue is we actually talked about could we repurpose it for some of the programs that we're being asked about, which is some of the social programs. And you know, one of the issues we walked the team walked us through some of the security issues that you would face trying to bring that building up to speed and able to house those programs, because they become 24/7 facilities. You have to make sure they're secure so you don't have people just walking away from the facilities. And then you have issues with the quality of the facility as they stand. And we know, and one of the things the Facilities Committee will see in the not too distant future is some of those issues related to the ILEAS facility, for instance. Some of the issues about the reuse of the JDC, for instance, housing the female inmates that were part of the ILPP study. Those issues that were brought up in the previous study were discussed, and it was looked at from the reality of today. One of the things I mentioned in the memo, in the juvenile detention center, juveniles that were charged as adults used to go to the jail. Now they have to be held at the juvenile detention center. So the daily population there is much different than it was when the ILPP study was done, because that change just took effect January 1 this year. And so we have different facts now that are playing into what you can do with housing of those individuals. So it's although it didn't become part of the paid for study, it was part of the discussions that led us up to what the scope of services were that the county was requesting of this team.
Okay, I appreciate that. So now that we'll have less inmates in the jail because many of them will end up in the JD center, then that's going to be taken into consideration as you make your count on our needs for the jail?
Yeah, part of, we're not doing population projecting per se, but part of this study will involve gathering data to break down who is in the jail and by what classification. You know, for example, one of the things in the ILPP study, I guess this is right, one of the things in the ILPP study was to have an updated and improved classification system, which they've since done. What we've asked and discussed preliminarily is that we begin to gather data and break it down by those groups so that we can anticipate what numbers that they're going to come in. And so that should reflect those changes inherently.
Okay. I don't quite agree with the interpretation of the ILPP report in relationship to that recommendation of a comprehensive plan. My understanding of his recommendation of a comprehensive plan was to look at all of the buildings that the county owns and look at all of the spaces and possibilities of those spaces. And what this is setting up is the slicing and dicing that the county has done historically and not looked at the whole mechanism of our buildings and our facilities. That worries me tremendously. This is taking another slice of things and not looking at the bigger picture, and we have a long history of that. One was started at the time of the nursing home fiasco, and it got set aside because they couldn't focus on it. So we've never had a comprehensive plan of the whole campus, and we plop buildings here and we plop buildings there, and we create drainage problems for ourselves because we overput buildings in a certain area, and then we have to come in and spend a lot of money on the draining.
Excuse me, Patsy. Are you getting to a question because you're
No, sure? I'm making some statements about this contract that really are concerning me for the amount of money that's going to be spent on this.
Well, the contract's already been let, and we're talking about the fine points of the contract, not what if and what could have been.
So well,
if you could stick to the questions like you were, that's fine, but I don't think we need to go way off on all this comprehensive planning and everything, because everything has been talked about, looked at during the county board study sessions and during full county board meetings. So please stick
this
to your questions.
This didn't come to the county board in the state it's in presently.
Not what we're seeing here, but the RFQ did with what we were wanting.
And I sent that concern in about the way the RFQ was worded, that this is not a comprehensive plan of the campus, and this would be a subset of that. That's not what we're doing. And this opens up all kinds of issues on use of spaces, potential spaces that could be used for other things, and that's not what's going to happen. And so on the record, that's a major concern I have about this process, that everybody is going to be approving this this evening. And it's also missing of how we could repurpose the downtown jail for other things that are beginning to percolate up in Urbana and with the MTD, which is too bad.
I think the study is going to look at what is viable for that jail one way or the other. There's no given conclusion on any of that. Some of the things you're talking about, if we would have put that all in at this point in time, we would never get off the ground floor because the county doesn't have that kind of money to have a study done of all its buildings at this time. Quisenberry.
Yeah, I just want to point out that what we're doing tonight is sending it to the full board with a recommendation or not. So it will be available to be talked about at the full board meeting. You can always ask for it to be taken off the consent agenda. Patsy, what are you shy? You can always ask for that. That's why when you say that, it doesn't make any sense to me, because it implies that you're not willing to ask for it to be pulled off a consent. And I know you are. I know you are. The other thing is, I don't think doing this precludes any of our opportunity to take advantage of whatever winds of change may be blowing in downtown Urbana. And far be it from me to predict what that implies. But as I was speaking earlier, some of the work we're going to do in this will actually lead to us being able to talk about this building to other potential interests with detailed information, as opposed to saying, well, if you want to figure out if you might want it, you're going to have to pay for this study to figure it out. That's how I'm making myself comfortable with the dollar amount that's before us.
I've had discussions with the MTD when I heard that they were looking at expansion into Urbana concerning our downtown jail. I talked with the new managing director. I've talked with Oral Pressing.
If you're going to talk about potential sale property,
no. I'm just saying that it is on the table in answer to Ms. Petrie's question about downtown. But that is all on the table. So we can discuss, as you just said, we can discuss that in the future after this contract's approved. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Excuse me. Hearing none, motion carries.
Just a point of order real quick.
Sure.
Deb, can we ask that an item be not on consent?
Absolutely.
Even though it was unanimous?
And given that this is the only item that will come to the full board without having gone through committee this month, it would be the only thing on the consent agenda. So you might as well have it not.
So just don't put it on consent when you're done.
There you go. Easy done. Okay, moving right along, we're going to step right up to the facilities director's report, and I'm going to turn it over to Dana.
Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Update, item A is the Brookins chiller replacement project. I provided you with a schedule of the process. You'll note from the top, we've already started with some electric work done, trying to anticipate and reduce the time element of this project. If anybody's got any questions, it's pretty readable on your own, but we hope to conclude the project, both replacing both chillers, the 90-ton and the 110 unit, by August 11th through 13th. We don't have an actual date. Can you pick it? It just depends upon how the installation goes. We hope it's the 11th, but we'll plan for the 13th.
When you're saying done, Dana, may I ask, does that include the fence, or is that going to be?
No, the fence will come after, as soon as they're done. The fence actually has been ordered as of this afternoon. It's a steel 8-foot-high fence that we'll have installed around the chiller to keep folks out.
All Thank you.
Item B, the Elias demolition. We actually mobilized and got started on this late in June, and then in early July found out from the city of Urbana that we needed a 45-day wait period once the permit was on file. So actually our start date now, when we'll actually take it down, is the 25th of July. Diggett of Champaign is the contractor. Once we get started, it should take only a week to have that portion of the annex down. Obviously, we'll be doing some more work, and it'll go on until probably the latter part of August. But the actual demo work of the building itself will be a very short period of time. Reminder that we've gone through and abated asbestos, lead. We have salvaged what we can, worked with the local PACA folks, and the contractor will be recycling what he can off of the project. So we'll try and be good stewards. Item C is really tied to, if you will, our capital projects. So if you could look at them in tandem, we'll start with D and just take a quick peek. Capital Asset Replacement Fund, if you look at the top portion of my graph there, you'll see the projects that were selected as possibilities for capital. As you come down the page, you'll see the actual projects, obviously the Brook and Stiller replacement, Elias, JDC automation system, we're still working on, but the other two are underway. After evaluating what was set up with our staff and talking with our administration, really felt like what came to the forefront is that a generator is absolutely the top priority for this facility because it encompasses all of our IT services and our communications for both the court and the sheriff's office. If we have an outage, which we have experienced in the past, it causes tremendous problems and hardships for the entire organization, but it's in particularly courthouse and sheriff's offices. So we have looked at a study. We hired GHR for $1,500. They came in and did a terrific and quick study of Brookins. We're not looking at a generator that's going to power the entire building. We've talked to Gordy and others in the building, and what we really need is just to power up the IT services area, provide some emergency lighting in the case that it, the power is out for an extended period of time. The study is basically showing that the cost will cost about $149,000. There's some contingency built into that. Hopefully it won't cost the entire amount. We'll save some money, but if you'll see on D, on the project's schedule, that our totals are under our available fund balance for Capital Asset Replacement Fund of the $532,000 and some change. So, questions?
Yeah, I note that there's contingency upon contingency upon contingency. And
there's 20%.
It's like 10% for miscellaneous, and then 5% for design contingency, and then on top of that, 5% bid contingency, and then construction contingency. It seems like paying for a lot of contingency in here.
Can you tell me, to be safe.
Yeah. Can you tell me what the generator's rating is for power? I see a 20 kVA UPS, but I don't see any actual spec for how big the generator is.
Yeah. 60 kVA.
60 kVA. Okay.
Small print, sorry.
Oh, there it is. Finally found it.
Kilowatt.
It says, yeah, kilowatt. Okay. And so I take it that the UPS is not supporting the same load that the generator is, because they're not equivalent
there
in output. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we're just keeping the computers up, lights will go out briefly, and then the generator will come on.
That is correct. So you're, what you're doing is protecting the servers and the IT equipment.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay.
When can we get it? Sorry.
This year?
I do want to...
Yes, go ahead.
Throw one, I'd like to point out that this would go at least one step towards our annual wrist slap from the auditors about our disaster recovery and fault tolerance capabilities in our IT system. So I will support this.
Because I was actually, I'm glad you mentioned Gordy, because when I was working at the county clerk's office one year, we lost power on election day. This would cover the servers and the computers that deal with that.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
I will also mention that we've done two other, as we, you know, look at the county facilities and our needs, and we're still in that process of assessing and prioritizing two areas that we did look at as well, the coroner shop. For obvious needs, but connected to the coroner's shop is election storage, so whatever we put in there would also encompass that area as well. And when we spoke to Gordy about his experiences through his first election, he had openly admitted, say, he does not need, this is an area for a gathering point here on election day. Obviously, you have to prepare for the worst, but the chances of it happening again election day, you hope, are slim. But if it would happen again, what he would do is move it over to a county highway who has a full building generator and the adequate space to be able to do a similar type event that they host here at Lyle Shields in Brookings.
Any other questions?
Any questions about the capital projects? Just reporting, I wanted to just throw it in front of you that those are the dollars to date, the actual costs. You can see that both the Brookings chiller and Elias are showing actual. The other two numbers are still along with the estimates, but you know, we hope to come in under that. Item E, courthouse masonry project. We are rapidly concluding that project. We've got approximately a week and a half left. Autobahn has been working overtime. They've worked Saturdays when it's not raining. Of course, Mother Nature has not been kind to this project in terms of the weatherproofing. You can do a lot of work in the rain, but when you're trying to weatherproof the brick and mortar, you've got to have dry weather. So, but again, we've got about less than 2 weeks. The dollars to date are reflected on the handout. From the bid documentation and the bid receipts, $303,170 to where we think it's going to come in at $215,000, we feel pretty good about the project and how well it's going to do for us with the courthouse for the next 20 years.
Yeah, yesterday at drug court graduation, as that storm came through, we were informed that the roof opened up on the bell tower side on the third floor of one of the gentlemen's offices there, and they had to take not just a trash can, but a garbage can to... Did you get a call on that?
Yes, sir. And
What was the cause of that, and are we in trouble again with the roof on the bell tower side?
No, Al, it's not the roof. It's either a window or it's a corner joint. It's on the third floor. The what would be the west face of the clock tower and the north face of the third floor. It's actually room 332. If you're familiar with the room numbers, But we'll get the lift up there later this week, and IGW and Audubon will go up and take a look for us. We do have a number of window issues, I will tell you, and it's timely because item F speaks to that. Within the old structure, the old original courthouse, there's 226 openings, windows, if you will, that were replaced in 1986, I believe. Of the 226, 58 have lost their ability to keep Mother Nature out, if you will. So we're contemplating looking at and talking with several entities to provide glass. I've got a price already for just replacing the 58, but 58 is a quarter of the openings. They're not low E at all. It's just plain double pane glass that is there, unlike the other windows in the new addition that are well suited for where we are in the Midwest. So we're also looking, besides the plain glass, we'll take a look at low E, we'll take a look at thermal pane, thermal frame, which is what the addition is. As we look at future projects, but we've got some issues. We've got probably a dozen of those windows that have lost their ability to keep out the weather that have actually cracked. And wind as well as the water does come through to several of those offices. So we'll address those very quickly, but we're looking more for a larger fix. But yes, and there were other leaks within that building as well. Was it the direction that the wind was blowing? It was very hard on Monday in particular. We had gusts of 60 to 70 miles an hour. Had a lot of leaks around our county facilities that we hadn't experienced in a number of places. So we'll continue to look at it. We want them airtight, obviously, but we'll see what that one is in particular. I will note that the trash can that was put up on the desk didn't have any water in it, at least when I viewed it, and I was there just about an hour and a half after I got the report. So
I will say that that was a west wall permeability test on Monday morning, because I know in our facilities we had a number of places that had never complained about leakage. West walls, water came right through because it was 70 miles an hour and it was a lot of water at the same time. So now we know which of our west walls need attention.
Attention, yeah.
Yeah. Deb, can I ask, is there still money in the courthouse construction fund that can be used? Okay, thank you.
That is all the items that I had on the list. However, I brought an additional one. I just labeled it H, just for your review. I said at the, I'm sorry, parking lots I skipped. Let me come back to it. G, parking lots. As I spoke at the last meeting and had a conversation with Gary, County Highway is assisting us with our parking lot renovation. They have almost concluded theirs. They had theirs resealed last weekend, just in time for the deluge of rain on Saturday. They have yet to get theirs painted, but the contractor did a very nice job. We don't have an exact date yet. We're working with county to try and establish a date. As you saw from the document on our chiller replacement, we've got the lot closed for several days. That is not for parking lot refurb. But that's to get a chiller out and a new chiller in, plus a crane on two different dates. So we'll be looking at dates sometime in August to do the work. We've already had County Highway come in. They've saw cut the square footage that needs to be taken out. They will remove it when they get a chance, and they have to work with us, obviously, on scheduling so that we can notify our staff and the facility. And hopefully have a dry day or two where we can park on grass and don't have to park too far away for our folks here inside the building. So that's a quick update. As soon as we have something finalized, and hopefully by our next meeting, we'll be able to share that. That last item I mentioned was the clock tower LED lighting. I just wanted to share with you the costs Aladdin Electric and Springfield Electric have worked very hard to come up with fixtures that meet our specs and what we think look well at night, look good at night. Reminder that LED fixtures burn very little, if hardly any, electricity versus the metal halide that we currently have there. We've got 30 lights that we're looking at replacing. We will order these directly from Springfield Electric. That way there's no markup and increase by Aladdin, who's allowed us to do that. Springfield will help us. Aladdin Electric will do the installation. I have talked to both Bruce Hannon and Joan Dixon, and they have agreed to pay for the project. We will assist with the lift. And we're calling around looking for lifts this week. We would anticipate that the lights would be here within the next 10 days, at least 28 of them. The two external ground fixtures, which need to be replaced, will take a little bit longer, but we don't need a lift for ground lights. So, but I thought I could at least provide you with the information on the LED lights so you have some, and we have involved the tower committee throughout the process. So any comments, questions?
I don't see any. Thank you, Dana. Next item is other business. Anybody have any other business? Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deb may want to correct me as I go along, but the recent contract with MPA at the nursing home basically got them out of the maintenance business at the nursing home and transferred it to the facilities director. Our home is between 7 to 8 years old now, and I think it's critical that we stay ahead of the maintenance and the redecorating early on, and this is a good time to start. So I would look to Dana to take a look at this and make some recommendations. It's what we need to do, not only immediately, but within the next couple of years. And I look forward to working with Dana over there at the nursing home. Thank you.
Dana.
Gary, to that point, we've hired a GHR to come in and do a thorough evaluation of all the mechanicals, HVAC system, fire suppression system, all electric system, plumbing, everything over there. Do the evaluation, come up with and help us prioritize the needs as well as giving us cost estimates. So then we can then take that back to both Deb and the nursing home to hopefully have them step up the plate and make it a better facility.
Are you saying they're going to look at all the boilers and equipment?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Boilers, laundry, you name it. If you remember, there's an issue with the laundry and the exhaust for the laundry. Exhaust lint very close to the intake on all four boilers. In fact, one boiler is non-functioning and is no longer able to be used. So,
Ronaldo, did you have a question?
Yes, I just wanted to bring it up since Gary was speaking about the nursing home. maybe perhaps I could solicit some comments from our nursing home board members about the new ratings that we received. I think they were high and they're good and we're on a roll, so I'm really excited. And perhaps you could inform the facilities committee as well as the public that's listening. Harkey?
It's not necessarily a facility issue, but we did go from 3 to 5 or 4 stars this week with our most recent rating, which was one of the metrics the county board set before the nursing home. So, but while we do have some facilities and dietary issues still to deal with, I think the nursing home is well on a good track.
Any other questions?
I'm real proud of the board of directors that's in place over there now. They show a strong leadership on the part of Kathy Emanuel, and they're asking a lot of good questions. They put some metrics in place that we're working towards to achieve, and we have in some cases done that. So I think a lot of credit goes to people like Kathy Emanuel and the staff, and not only the management over there, but also the line staff at the nursing home. Thank you.